All right. What's up, everybody? It's Jake. Before we really get into this episode, I just wanted to come on here and address the DeMar Hamlin situation. We don't talk about it directly in the episode, but I just want to say that my heart is so heavy for him, his family, and he's in my thoughts and prayers. I'm just praying for a speedy and safe recovery for him, and it's just one of the most terrifying things, you know, any of us have ever seen in sports. So I hope you guys enjoy the episode, and yeah, just be keeping DeMar Hamlin in your thoughts and prayers. What's up, and welcome to episode 69 of the Jake Talk Sports Podcast. I am here today with my man, Hammy Takes. How are you, bro?
I'm good, man. How about you?
I'm doing good, man. Obviously, this is the first time, one of the first times I've had another Packers fan on the show, so feel a little bit more comfortable having a Packers fan, you know? I always got these NFC North rivals on my show, and, you know, they talk a lot of crap, yeah. So it's good to have you on, man.
Geeks, David.
Yeah, yes, sir, man. Dude. They're the worst. I love those guys. But, yeah, since we're both Packers fans, it feels only right to start off by talking about the Packers. This team, somehow, some way, after the season they've had, is playing for a shot at the playoffs next week. So – on the off chance, there's no guarantee, but on the off chance that they do make the playoffs, What do you think we see? Do you think the Packers are a dangerous playoff team or no?
Here's my concern. I think the Packers, what we're seeing a lot more and what hurt us in the past, you know, couple of years when we were in the playoffs, we weren't spreading the ball a lot. We kept focusing on like Devontae Adams or like the number one receiver, from like the way I see it. This year, I feel like we've been leaning more on the running game, and we're starting to find open guys. Now, obviously, what we did to Minnesota last week, that was nice to see. But in regards of like contending with the other teams and seeing what the Packers can do, I think it's a little bit of a challenge considering that this will be the, you know, the rookies, wide receivers, that's their first playoffs. You know, the experience level may potentially start to kick in, but they're starting to, you know, get it going with the chemistry. So I'm kind of excited to see. In regards of like how I view this team, like do I think if they could be a dangerous team in the postseason? I feel like the Packers, they can, but the problem is, how is the defense going to play? You know, is Joe Barry going to put Jair in zone coverage, or is he going to start putting him more man-to-man? So, like, it's just really more so about what the coaching is going to be, you know, because the Packers have the potential to be a dangerous team. Will the coaching do it? That's what I'm a little concerned about.
Yeah, and I feel like it's just so frustrating because – all of a sudden, last week, Joe Barry decides that Jair Alexander gets to play man coverage on Justin Jefferson, one of the best receivers in the league, and he does that. You know, it just makes me wonder exactly what would have happened if he'd been playing man all year, right? Like, right. Would Terry McLaurin have torched us, and would the Commanders have beaten us, or would the Giants have beaten us if he was covering their top guy? It really makes you wonder. Although, If this defense plays really good and they beat the Lions next week and then they maybe win a playoff game, or the defense still plays really good, would you still consider keeping Joe Barry, or are you pretty set on no matter what happens, he's got to go? Because I'm personally on the no matter what happens, I think he's got to go.
Sure. I'm right with you, man. Because, Dude, there's like zero. We've been in a few close games. There's absolutely just seeing what you're doing to Jair Alexander, who has honestly shown you that he's the best cornerback in football if it's not Jalen Ramsey or Sauce Gardner right now. Ascertain. Like, and he just got a massive contract. Like, he's there. He's literally a premier lockdown corner. And we're not scheming Jair Alexander to, you know, play that. So, like, I don't understand what Joe Barry is thinking. I mean, he was pretty good. He was good last year. But this year, I'm like, what on earth? And I will say, when the Joe Barry hiring occurred before last season, he was the defensive coordinator for Washington, and they had a pretty iffy defense, a very iffy defense when they had him. But at the same time, there was optimism because he was part of the Rams defense back in 2020. Like, he was part of that coaching staff with Brandon Staley and them. So there was a little bit of optimism, and he kind of showed it last year that I think this defense can have potential, but seeing what happened this year, like especially scheming Jair Alexander in zone coverage. I mean, Packers fans, there's a reason why we keep mentioning this, because there's no way on earth Jair Alexander should be playing zone coverage.
Right.
He is a man-to-man corner. This is a lockdown corner. You put him on the best receiver, and there you go. But I just don't know what Joe Barry is thinking.
Yeah, I mean, like, no, oh yeah. I mean, it's just like, it's so disappointing, because before the season, I myself, ton of Packers fans, I'm sure you were on this train, we all were saying that the offense isn't going to be great, but man, this defense, I mean, come on, it's going to be phenomenal. Everybody, and even people who aren't Packers fans are like, I know the offense isn't good, but on paper, this defense is top five. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, they come out and just have a stinker beginning of the season, like absolutely unbelievable disaster class against the Vikings defensively, who turned out to be a good team. So we'll take it. But overall, I mean, I don't know where this Packers team that played at Lambeau against Minnesota last week came from, and I don't know why they hadn't shown up. I mean, really, like they waltz into Miami and beat one of the best teams in the AFC, and then they take a home stand against one of the best teams in the NFC and beat them, and you just have to wonder where it all was all this time.
Exactly. I mean, and then the one thing that really changed it was having Keyshawn Nixon be our returner.
Dude, oh my gosh. I can't believe it.
I'm like, well, I don't know if you may feel the same way, but I kind of feel bad for Amari Rodgers, because we did not draft this man to return
kick. That is true. Yeah, he was like, he was like a gadget receiver kind of guy, and he was out there. And like I said this in one of my TikTok videos, and I'm not entirely sure if I'm correct, but I really think that in my lifetime, Keyshawn Nixon's one of the best Packers returners I've ever seen. We have not had some good ones, like in my 19 years of living.
I can't remember the last time
we had like a solid returner. And he's taken him like 90 plus yards. I'm just like, man, if we had him all year, our field position would be different. And it just kind of seems like the end of the season for the Packers is they're showing us what they could have been. And yeah, it's 100%. Probably a little too late. Yeah. I think we're beating the Lions. I think we're making the playoffs, in my opinion. I don't think they're going to sweep us. I can't remember the last time the Lions swept the Packers. Like, it's got to have been a long time.
9 points, and we held them to 15. And I think,
With the improvements the team has made, I think we'll be okay, especially at home. Aaron Rodgers at home in December with a playoff January in the spot.
Right.
Playoff spot on the line. I mean, I don't see him throwing like three picks against them like he did the first time. Like, no shot. No way.
My trust is on 12 always.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. So we're talking a little bit about coaching. And early in the season, I had some conversations with some people about whether or not Matt LaFleur should be on the hot seat, or whether or not Matt LaFleur was the problem, right?
Because
a lot of the narratives were that, oh, maybe Matt LaFleur isn't this offensive genius and it was all Nathaniel Hackett. Blah, 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 whatever, or Luke Getsy or whatever. And I kind of think that if they lose another first-round playoff game this year, or they lose to Detroit, finish with a losing record, I mean, I don't think he should be fired, but if we don't see some serious success under LaFleur, it might be in consideration, because maybe he's just not the right coach for this team, I would say. Yeah.
And I think a little bit of our play calling, kind of, losing Nathaniel Hackett kind of did a little shaking up the offense a little bit. Like, I could see it, but I think probably give LaFleur maybe another season or two, see how he does with this roster. If the team is going to be, it's not like what it was like, you know, the first 3 years, and there's going to be consideration, because obviously you're going to look at the record. But I mean, Matt LaFleur, you saw what he did when. Yeah, when we had Davante Adams, even though I still miss him to this day, when we had Davante Adams, I mean, you saw the Packers have one of the best offenses, and then all of a sudden it's just like it's broken. Now, do give him credit, Luke Getsy not being here, even though give him credit, he's doing a heck of a job right now in Chicago, despite how bad their wide receiving situation is. What he's doing with Justin Fields, you love to see it. Like, even though I'm anti-Bears, but I do would like to see Justin Fields, you know, succeed in this league, because he was my favorite one of my favorite quarterbacks coming from that draft class.
Sure.
But seeing what Getsy's doing to Justin Fields, I think it's kind of nice to see what's going on over there. And I could see some potential going on. But Nathaniel Hackett, I really don't know how we ended up losing him.
It really did come out of nowhere, honestly. Like, I thought that I didn't think he would be a good head coach. So I kind of went into the offseason with the mentality like, I don't think anybody's going to hire this dude because I think he's a great offensive coordinator, and I think that he will probably fill that role pretty well for a different team next year. But the Broncos hired him, and I was just like, this ain't going to work. Like he cannot be a head coach
for Rodgers to come to Denver. That was the only purpose.
And then Rodgers didn't even do it. He signed this huge extension like 2 weeks later. I don't get it. But yeah, I mean, I think that Joe Barry probably needs to go, like we talked about. 100%. I think that, I mean, Brian Gutekunst, I don't know if how he gets fired, but if we have another bad draft class, man, I don't know.
That's the thing. I'm worried about this draft. This one is kind of where the pressure's on Brian Gutekunst.
Right, because like we can move into talking about the offseason a little bit. Like, where do you think the Packers should go with wherever they end up picking? Like, if they lose this week, I'm pretty sure they pick like 12th or 13th, maybe. Like, I don't think any of like the top guys are going to be available. Like, what position do you think they should go after?
I keep seeing a lot of mock drafts of us getting Jaxon Smith-Njigba, and I'm like, are we really going to do that? Like,
another rookie wide receiver. Yeah,
that's what I'm. But even though Smith-Njigba is very elite and he's probably the best wide receiver in the draft class.
Yeah.
But my thing is like, I'm a little concerned about, like, you know, our offensive line situation, because the Packers, sometimes they are kind of known for having a pretty good offensive line.
Sure.
I kind of want to see address that area a little bit. Defensive wise, we suck at depth at secondary.
Oh my gosh. We suck at it. Yeah.
It's kind of like the Atlanta Falcons, you know, when they have AJ Terrell, then they have Casey Hayward, even though their secondary is trash. But like ours is like, we have Jair Alexander. Rasul Douglas kind of took a step back.
He goes back and forth. He's not really the most consistent guy.
Yeah, he's very inconsistent. And then
Eric Stokes hasn't been fantastic. I don't even know if he plays. I think he's been hurt or off the field. And like Adrian Amos is okay. Like Darnell Savage is okay. But like Jair is the only like guy in the secondary where I can look at him and say, I trust you. I trust you to make a play. Like everybody else, I'm like, I could see you getting toasted any day in the week. Right.
100%. But like outside of Jair Alexander and Eric Stokes, like our backups, oh man, we really do not have depth at secondary. I would kind of want to see the Packers somewhat address that in the draft. Like try to get a corner that you know you can develop.
And I think the thing with like Jaxon Smith-Njigba, you said he's a fantastic wide receiver. Mm-hmm. But the what makes Rodgers so great is he develops trust in these receivers, and that's what happened with Devontae Adams. Devontae Adams not supposed to be a good wide receiver coming out of college, not supposed to be what he is now. Mm-hmm. But Aaron Rodgers loved him and kept throwing him the ball even when he sucked his rookie year.
Right.
Okay.
And we're seeing that with Christian Watson.
Yeah. Exactly, and that relationship kept building and building and building. Mm-hmm. Now he's gone, but he's the best receiver in football, one of the best receivers in football, definitely still in that conversation. And I just think that one of Christian Watson or Romeo Dubs is kind of on that same path, because if Rodgers starts to trust these guys next year, he'll have Lazard, who he already likes and he trusts, and he'll have those two guys. I'm fine going into next year with this receiving core. I think wherever we pick is a little too high for a receiver, even if it's Jaxon Smith-Njigba.
Yeah, I don't blame you. 100%. Yeah. Wait, how long is Lazard under contract till?
I actually don't know when the last time we paid him was.
Let me actually look that up, because I know that's interesting. We did re-sign him this free agency, and he was on a restricted contract.
He signed a one-year deal last year, so his contract is up. Like, this is it. Oh. So he's a free agent after this year, so we would have to pay him. There's our next point of topic. Do you pay Alan Lazard? If you're Brian Gutekunst, do you pay Alan Lazard?
I think right now he's like 27 years old, so he's almost there. I think if you want someone to, like, continue helping with the wide receiving core, I could see why you want to keep Lazard, because Lazard is pretty good in terms of like the short area targets and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And literally probably one of the best or not the best blocking wide receiver.
Insane, dude.
Insane. Yeah.
That's why our run game's so good, man. Like, he is Legit.
You don't find wide receivers that can block as well as Alan Lazard does. But if this is a guy that, you know, Aaron Rodgers trusts and you want to have that little veteran, you know, type of player to come up big in, like, you know, some of these key moments, I think I would resign Alan Lazard, but I wouldn't probably give him like an insane contract. I would probably give him like a mid-level to like probably, I would say like somewhere around where like a veteran would probably make maybe a little bit more than that, but not like to like a huge, like a huge, huge contract.
I think it really depends on what he asks for. That's like if Lazard were to come out here and be like, I want $7 million a year, I'd be like, whoa, like let's
calm not down. Maybe
four or five, depending on how long the contract was for. Mm-hmm. But I'm not opposed to re-signing him. I just think that,
right?
Yeah, if it's the same situation that the Bears are in with David Montgomery, like if Montgomery were to ask for too much, I wouldn't do it. But if he asked for like a reasonable price, I would take him. Mm-hmm. You know, and yeah. Going back to the playoffs, if we were to make the playoffs right now, you and I have talked about this personally, it would be the good old San Francisco 49ers once more. And here's my thing. Okay, I've been thinking about this a lot. I think we'd beat them. Because I think if our defense plays the way they played against Minnesota, sure, their defense is good. But I think if our defense plays the way they do against Minnesota, it's really just it really just comes down to Brock Purdy versus Aaron Rodgers. No Debo Samuel, most likely. Jair on Brandon Ayuk. I don't know. Like
someone's got to be our Kittle.
That's the problem. Like Devondre George Campbell, Kittle I love you, but you can't do that.
Number one concern that I would have.
Yeah,
Jair on Ayuk.
Because that's the thing, man. Is like,
and then Christian McCaffrey, dude. He's unstoppable.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Is like, I feel like. As much as I say, like, oh, the defense could play well, I feel like McCaffrey would just do to us what Raheem Mostert did to us in that NFC Championship game a couple years ago where he rushed for, like, 200 yards.
Right. I still don't know how this man did not make the Pro Bowl, but Miles Sanders did. I don't know if you saw my TikTok. I was just, like, almost going on to a rant. Miles Sanders making the Pro Bowl over Christian McCaffrey. I thought that was criminal.
I the funniest part is like Miles Sanders runs behind like literally the best offensive line in football.
Exactly.
And this is a dude who had zero touchdowns with that same offensive line last year. Like no production. He was getting outproduced by like Boston Scott, like Kenneth Gainwell. And McCaffrey, who goes from a pretty good offensive line in Carolina to a really, besides Trent Williams, not that fantastic of an offensive line.
Right.
San Francisco. And also, like, his ability as a receiving back. I mean, I'm sure you saw the play against the Raiders where he caught it out of the backfield and just dragged defenders. I'm just like,
believe that McCaffrey is, like, the most, like, in terms of overall talent in the entire league, I think he's the most talented running back in football.
Oh, yeah. McCaffrey at his peak is borderline top three running back.
Like,
if he's fully healthy at his peak, like, talent level, he is a top three running back in the NFL.
100%.
Sure. And like,
I think I may honestly, if I were to do a running backs ranking right now, I get that Josh Jacobs is having an incredible year, but I'm taking McCaffrey ahead of him.
Yeah, I don't buy the Josh Jacobs hype.
Yeah, that's
as much
thing.
As some people do. I see some people having him as like RB1 and 2, and I love him, and I think he's had a fantastic season.
100%.
I don't know if I can put him in the top three right now over like Saquon, Henry, Chubb, and CMC.
They were already more proven before Jacobs came along. You know?
Right. And like, I guarantee you Jacobs doesn't come out and do the same thing next year. But like, Derrick Henry will, and Nick Chubb will.
Yeah, you can trust Derrick Henry, Nick Chubb, because they've shown you consistency. McCaffrey too, and Saquon as well. Josh Jacobs, I feel like this is kind of like his breakout year, you know, like having the insane type of, you know, rushing performance and all and what he's doing right now, leading the league in rushing yards. Granted, I am pretty happy that Jacobs is having a good season because I called him the most underrated running back before the season began. And I believe my TikTok comment section was just trying to clown me by saying that I was being stupid.
Yeah.
But like Jacobs, like, I like the way his vision is, the way he runs and all that stuff.
100%.
But to put him in the top three right now, I feel like it's a little bit of a reach. I can understand arguments for top five, but not really top three. I feel like my top three would be somewhere in no particular order, would be Christian McCaffrey, Nick Chubb, Derrick Henry, and maybe Saquon. I could probably put Saquon in that combo.
Yeah. I mean, Saquon, I was kind of in the same boat as you were with Josh Jacobs with him, because somebody last before this season was like, what do you think of Saquon? I was like, I think he's borderline a top five running back. Like, if he stays healthy this year, everyone was like, bro, you cannot be serious. Like, how could he be a top five back? He hasn't played in like a year. I'm like, just watch. And now here he is, and we all knew what Saquon was going to be. 100%. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think we could maybe beat the Niners.
There's a chance.
I'm not holding out hope. But
yeah, I mean,
we're getting ahead of ourselves. We have to beat the freaking Lions first. But you know,
that's the thing. I kind of would like to take it a game. You know,
I don't
like, focus on Detroit. See if we beat them. If we beat them, we're in the postseason.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I personally, I'm going to be upset. But if we do lose, and Seattle were to lose too, and the Lions make it in, I think that'd be cool. Like, I would love to watch this Lions team in the playoffs.
I would as too. Much as it would honestly, hurt. I've said it on Twitter. I would root for the Lions if they make the playoffs.
In the NFC? Oh yeah.
I want to see the Lions, you know, perform well in the postseason, because I get that, you know, the Packers and Lions, they have a rivalry. I personally don't have beef with Lions fans because, like, I got a couple of friends that I live here, like in North Carolina, that are Lions fans, and they're like some of the most nicest individuals I've ever met. I would love to see, you know, like, they went through some serious depression, and I would like to see Lions fans, you know, actually enjoy themselves if they make the postseason. So if we lose to the Lions, obviously I'm going to be a little bit, you know, a little bitter that, dang, we were like having such an underwhelming season, and we were this close
to capping it off. Yeah.
So close. But seeing that the Lions are in the playoffs, and for something that they've suffered for years, I mean, with Matt, I think since like they had Matt Patricia, I mean, my God, I'll be rooting for the Lions 100%.
Yeah,
I would 100% root for the Detroit Lions.
And I mean, like, I do not share the same hate for the Lions that I do the Vikings and the Bears, because I grew up watching the Vikings and Bears beat us every once in a while. But usually, I would like the Lions. That was just that team that we were like, okay, we'll take the easy win and we'll move on, you know. And so, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think the Packers are probably going to take care of business.
I feel so too.
But you never know. I mean, Jared Goff, if he pulls out one of those random master classes he tends to have, then I mean, torches our defense. Who knows?
Thing is, there's this thing about Jared Goff this season. Like, he's good when he's at home, but when he's at the road, he's not as good. Like, I see
sounds
that
about
a lot.
Right. Yeah, like that's true, like, because he was terrible against Carolina a couple weeks ago, and they were in Carolina.
I was listening to like some like fantasy football podcasts and stuff like about Jared Goff, because like there's just leagues where I'm like trying to look for a quarterback to, like, you know, stream in fantasy. Then I keep hearing Jared Goff's name over and over again. It just seems like he does so well when he's at home in a dome, but when he's playing on a team against a team that does not have a dome, he seems to like not have a good game. So I'm kind of curious to see how Jared Goff does. I feel like this would be the game to see whether if Detroit would actually end up keeping Jared Goff, or if they turn to a new direction and get a franchise.
That's true. Yeah. Speaking of quarterbacks, I think personally the Packers are in a super interesting spot quarterback wise, because Rodgers, who knows what he does after this year? Okay, yeah. He could do anything he wants. He could get traded to the Jets. He could retire. He could get traded somewhere else. Or he could stay. And there have been rumors coming out that if he were to choose to stay, Jordan Love would request a trade, which I think is the absolute worst-case scenario. Because I think Jordan Love should be a Packer at least until he gets one season to start. I don't know when it would be. I think we should keep him until he gets one season to start, and just let him go out there and say, hey, do your thing. If we suck, we get a high draft pick. If we don't, you're the guy. As simple as that, right?
Yep, 100%. I'm hearing rumors about him potentially going to Las Vegas if, for some reason, if Derek Carr's not a Raider. And I'm like,
yeah. I mean, what are your thoughts on Jordan Love? How do you? I mean, obviously we've seen a very small sample size of him, but 100%. That Eagles game this year really gave me a little bit of hope that he could be salvageable in the future.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, ESPN ranked him as the fourth best quarterback in the 2020 draft class. I don't know if I think that they ranked him as the number four overall quarterback. So, but seeing from that Eagles game and. Obviously, last year it was kind of a little underwhelming, but he made some pretty good throws. I saw some pretty good short area targets, throws, and all that stuff. I think there's a possibility, you know. I feel like it would be, you know, kind of like how you see how Trevor Lawrence is starting to pan out with the receiving help he's gotten in Jacksonville with the Christian Kirk signing, the Zay Jones signing. By the way, Zay Jones went to my school, by the way. He's an alumni from my school. Yeah, even it sucks though. I didn't get to watch him play, but because I think he went to the NFL draft the year before I attended East Carolina. But
yes, sir.
But yeah, Zay Jones, and then Marvin Jones, but I think seeing the help that Trevor Lawrence is getting, I feel like we would probably need to get something like that if we want to see Jordan Love fully develop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, I want to keep Rodgers as long as Rodgers can play. Don't get me wrong. Like, if Rodgers continues to play at this level,
I'm a Rodgers fan. Man.
He's my guy. But yeah, we've been talking a lot about the playoffs, so I feel like it's only right to talk about a little bit lower level of playoffs, though. Let's talk about your Georgia Bulldogs. All right.
Hey, go Dogs, baby.
I mean, dude. I'm not a TCU fan, but they were the team I chose to support throughout these playoffs, just because. They're the underdogs, like the same thing with Cincinnati last year. I love them to death. I think Max Duggan is awesome. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to get absolutely crushed by Georgia. I see very
little. You never know, man.
I see very little pass. I mean, you're the Bulldogs fan here. Are you worried whatsoever?
I mean, there is a little bit of a concern because the way you're going to beat Georgia is if you're very good in the passing game. Like, you just saw what LSU did to us in the SEC championship, and then you just saw what Ohio State did. If TCU can get the passing game going, then there's a little bit of concern. And it does suck for Georgia because our best pass rusher, Nolan Smith, who was the leader of our defense, he had the N'Kobe Dean role for our defense last year. He has it this year. He had it suffered a pec injury against our game against Florida. He's out for the year. He's not playing. Nolan Smith, I think, was pretty regarded as a high draft pick. It's kind of curious to see what he does, where he ends up going. But if you're going to beat Georgia, you better be good in the passing game. Because that's the one area of concern where Georgia's very young at that area. Mm-hmm. Keely Ringo, obviously you may have heard his name, probably the best corner in this draft class. If I don't know if any other corners have been there.
But did he didn't have that great of a game against Ohio State, did he?
He
did. Like, I kind of saw him.
He didn't. I think there was slander on Twitter. Marvin Harrison got him. Marvin Harrison Jr. got him. It was kind of an underwhelming game, but there were a few plays where Keely Ringo kind of did. He kind of broken off some plays and some passes, but it was not like the typical, you know, Keely Ringo type of game.
Right. Like, how do you think he'll match up against? I don't know how much he'll actually be covering him, but how do you like his chances against Quentin Johnston, who's obviously like a top three receiver in this next draft class? Do you think he'll be all right? I mean, he's a lot smaller than Quentin Johnston, which is a problem, but
that is a problem. And that's where I'm a little bit concerned with how Ringo does with Quentin. I think you could see maybe him holding his ground. He kind of held a little bit of his ground when matched up with Marvin Harrison, but obviously Quentin Johnston is way, way bigger.
A little more physical, yeah.
And yeah, so I think it's kind of interesting to see how he matches up with Quentin Johnston. I think there you'll see some where I think Quentin Johnston may get him, then some where Keely Ringo may, you know, potentially win that battle. So I think I'll see a little mix of a 50-50 chance, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think Georgia is they're pretty close to unbeatable, and I know you know this because you've watched them all year. They're I don't know, something about them, and TCU is just, I don't think they have the firepower. And I don't think they're all, I think I'm very worried about their offensive line. Because you talked about the Georgia secondary not being great. They're a little young, but that pass rush against the TCU offensive line.
Yeah. Georgia's D line.
They're gonna eat.
Jalen Carter is probably gonna have a day, but I'm not gonna really guarantee it. But because what Kirby Smart likes to do is sub out Jalen Carter just for him to, you know, get a breather in some stuff. You kind of see that with so that's what Kirby Smart likes to do. So you'll probably see a few reps where you don't see Jalen Carter on that defensive line. But yeah, Georgia's defensive line, they're pretty massive. Mm-hmm. It's pretty good.
I got to ask you this question as a Georgia fan. Do you think Stetson Bennett has any chance of being a quarterback in the NFL?
The thing with Stetson Bennett, and Georgia fans kind of complained about him, but way before, you know, he won a national, before he got the national championship and all that. It was just his turnovers. That's the one thing, and the thing about Stetson Bennett that I feel like he could have gotten the Heisman Trophy. The one thing that hurts him is the turnovers. Because I remember Georgia fans in the past, they would make jokes like, oh, he's just guaranteed to like make a mistake or turn the ball over at least once in this game. And somehow, some way, we're gonna end up winning this game. Like that's the thing that Stetson Bennett gets. But me personally, as a Georgia fan, I'm actually very happy to see how Stetson Bennett grew and, you know, how he's matured enough and, you know, gotten a lot better in the pocket, you know, become much better as a passer and all that. We did have JT Daniels, who eventually then ended up transferring to West Virginia. Kind of wanted to see how he would have done, because when we had that bowl game against Cincinnati back in 2020, JT looked really good. And then JT got injured. We had to get Stetson back, and Georgia fans were a bit concerned last year about him, but Stetson proved a lot of doubters wrong. I think Stetson, if he gets drafted to an NFL team, and I think there's a pretty good chance he will.
Especially if they win two straight national championships.
100%. Yeah. I could definitely see Stetson getting drafted. I think if he is in a team where he sits behind like a veteran or probably about somebody, there's a chance. Like, I think that's really good for him. Like being a backup and then potentially working your way to a starter. I think that's where I could see Stetson going.
Yeah. And just talking about Georgia as a whole, I mean, they're playing for the second straight national championship. Do you think that they're going to continue this level of play in the next few years? Like, they're going to be the one seed. They're going to win every single game. They're going to just be dominating everybody. They're going to waltz their way into the playoff. Or do you think that we're going to see a sort of regression from Georgia? Once they lose a couple of guys, they're going to lose Jalen Carter. They're probably going to lose Kelee Ringo. They're losing Stetson Bennett for sure, so they're not the quarterback. Do you think that we see Georgia kind of fall off, or do you expect this team to just continue to dominate like they have been?
I still think we'll be a top five team, because the one thing that's going to really help is the recruiting class. Georgia consistently gets in like the top five in terms of like the recruiting class for, you know, incoming freshman students. The one thing about Georgia that I am going to miss is the running game that we had from Kendall Milton and Kenny McIntosh, because those are our two physical runners. But we're starting to see Dejon Edwards come along, and we're starting to see Dejon Edwards and Robinson. I can't remember his last name for some reason, but apparently Georgia fans give him Nick Chubb comparisons. I don't know, for some reason I keep forgetting his name, but I've seen a lot of Nick Chubb comparisons from him. As a matter of fact, I have to pull up Georgia's depth chart right now, because for some reason I just can't remember it. I feel like a fake fan for not remembering. I don't know if you ever had moments like these when the guy that you're talking about, but you just cannot remember his name for some reason.
Yeah.
Like, I hate when this stuff happens, but one of our running backs, in the meantime, I'm just going to say, he looks like he gets a lot of Nick Chubb comparisons. I think Georgia's run game is something that they've been consistently good at. Tom Monken, I think, is such a masterful at, you know, developing, you know, our run game. And I think that also depends on him too. What if Todd Monken gets a head coaching job?
Right.
Yeah. That is another thing we have to consider, because last year Dan Lanning was our defensive coordinator, and now he's the head coach for Oregon. So I think there's a lot of variables that, you know, we need to, you know, consider.
Mm-hmm.
Will Tom Monken be our offensive coordinator? If he stays, then, like, I think we could see good things from our offense. I kind of like to see what Georgia's next quarterbacks, Carson Beck and Brock Vandergriff, kind of like to see what they end up doing. See how they play and develop, you know, as quarterback, because they were 4 or 5-star recruits coming out of high school. So I'm kind of excited to see how they do. And they get their reps whenever Georgia's, like, cost was blowing out, you know, a certain team or something. And from the reps that I've seen from Carson Beck, and I think Carson Beck may be the next man up, I feel like he's got potential to be one of the best quarterbacks in the country. Like, I can see the arm talent, I can see the tools that he possesses. I think there's a good chance. In regards with their defense, Georgia, they consistently land a lot of defenses.
Oh yeah,
Malachi Starks,
they should be fine.
Yeah, Malachi Starks is just a redshirt freshman. I think he's looking really good. Let's see. Branson Robinson, that's who he is. I just looked it up. Yeah, there you go. Branson Robinson. That's the guy it's either him or Dejon Edwards that gets the Nick Chubb comparisons. But those two are going to be the next two running backs, because Georgia's a running back by committee. So Georgia, I think his running back is going to be good. It's going to suck. Ladd McConkey will be a junior next year. He's currently a sophomore listed, and he's our best wide receiver. Well, other than Adonai Mitchell.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And McConkey is like a guy you can use, you know. He's like a gadget type of wide receiver. So you can see a lot of jet sweeps from him. You're probably going to see Ladd McConkey, you know, being here next year. Arian Smith kind of showed some flashes even last game against Ohio State. Donnie Mitchell. So I kind of like the wide receiving core. So I think, man, Marcus Rosemead, Jack Saint's another good one. Even though he's a junior, we'll see if he returns next year.
Mm-hmm.
But Rosemead, Jack Saint, I think he could do something really good. I am going to miss Brock Bowers and Darnell Washington. Those two are massive.
Brock Bowers is, man, he's crazy.
100%. And, oh, man. Like, I'm seeing people compare him to Travis Kelce.
No, dude. Like, legit. He's that next big,
next
strong,
guy
fast tight end for sure.
We saw Kyle Pitts. This year was supposed to be Jelani Woods. But obviously the Colts are a dumpster fire. We didn't really get to see him.
Yeah, this year, though, whoever gets Brock Bowers, man, that's going to be crazy.
The team that gets Brock Bowers, because I think he's a first rounder. I see the first rounder in him.
Yeah, for sure. A little bit more on Georgia's future. I know that, I don't know if you've seen these, but there are rumors that an NFL team is going to pursue Kirby Smart this season there are going to be some NFL teams who have vacancies that are looking at Kirby Smart.
I did not see that.
I have two questions for you. One, do you think he'd actually leave Georgia? And two, do you think he would be a good NFL head coach?
I don't think he leaves Georgia. I think Kirby's just too loyal for Georgia. I mean,
I don't think so either, but I think it's interesting.
I think it's kind of we did give Kirby Smart the contract, I think, this past offseason. Mm-hmm. So extended him. So I don't think Kirby leaves Georgia, but it does make a lot of interesting, kind of like the Jim Harbaugh potentially leaving Michigan for, you know.
I personally think Jim Harbaugh is gone. I think he's getting a job in the NFL. Mm-hmm. I would hire him if I were an NFL team looking for a coach.
He had success with the 49ers when he was coaching.
He was never a bad NFL head coach. It's just Michigan was a better offer then, because obviously at the end of his time with the 49ers, that team kind of fell apart. You know, Kaepernick got whatever happened to Kaepernick because of the whole national anthem thing. And then he left and the team sucked. And so he's just like, I'm going to go play for a consistent contender in the college football world. And he's had a good record at Michigan, except against Ohio State pretty much. That's about it.
And then he can't win bowl games. He only has
He can't win bowl games. Yeah, but honestly, if I'm an NFL team looking for a coach, I'm looking at him. Yeah.
I was honestly kind of surprised he didn't get hired last year because he was also one of the candidates.
He was like very close to being a Viking, and I would have been furious. I mean, they still got Kevin O'Connell, who's been great, but O'Connell. Jim Harbaugh with that Vikings team.
Do not remind me the emotional roller coaster that I went through.
Oh my gosh, dude! Yeah,
Jim Harbaugh, Minnesota Vikings.
But I personally do not think I love him as a college coach, but I don't think Kirby Smart would be NFL head coach.
You saw Nick Saban, he wasn't that good.
Didn't work out. Urban Meyer sucked. Work out.
Urban Meyer has probably got
absolute dumpster fire
history.
Yeah, awful.
Like, if we're talking Jamarcus Russell being the biggest bust, like, Urban Meyer is astronomically bad.
The worst coach to ever coach an NFL team.
I hated him.
He's awful. College coaches don't usually work out if they came from college. Like Jim Harbaugh, you hire him out of Michigan because he's already been an NFL head coach and he has success in that.
Yeah, 100%. 49ers went to the NFC Championship game that year.
And like Kirby Smart, like, sure. Like, he's had success at Georgia. But you've never seen him.
He's a great defensive coach. I mean, he was a DB when he was playing college.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a defensive guru, but I don't know about head coaching in the NFL because it's different. These guys are playing for their monies. It's not like college where you're the one in charge and like you have to discipline your players. It's not like that in the NFL, kind of in like that sort of sense, you know?
Yeah.
It's like players, they have their family, they're men, they got their lives on the line, their families are there, and you know. It's like the type of energy. It's like a little bit different from the NFL than than college. And I think that's kind of where college coaches don't understand that. And that's kind of why you see a lot of failure.
Mm-hmm. I mean, looking at the time, the last thing that I want to talk about with you is your award picks now that we're pretty much at the end of the season. So we'll start off with the big one. I'm going to let you go first for all of these so you can steal my answers if you want. But who are you taking right now for the NFL MVP? What do you got?
It's Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
Let's be clear. People were legitimately thinking that Mahomes would not be as good when the moment Tyreek.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. Oh my gosh!
This had to be the dumbest thing that I saw. Twitter was going nuts about it, and I'm like, are we really about to act like Patrick Mahomes is not all of a sudden just going to be a good, you know, quarterback just because without Patrick Mahomes? Like, first and foremost, and then the same with Tyreek Hill. Like, I've seen people act like Tyreek Hill was no longer going to be a top five wide receiver, but you saw what he did when Alex Smith was that quarterback. He had success, and Tyreek Hill was, like, having, like, a Pro Bowl type of a season. Now, with Patrick Mahomes, like, you just can't look at – you look at Patrick Mahomes and his talent and you look at that stuff, how can you say that this man's not going to succeed without Tyreek Hill? Like, I don't see how you could say this man's going to fail without Tyreek Hill. Like, I get it. Tyreek Hill is the X factor and like,
yeah, but like, this is like the most talented quarterback we've ever seen play the sport. Mm-hmm. Like, it's crazy.
100%. And yeah, I get he's got Travis Kelce, but here's the problem. Like, Mahomes' talent is the reason why Andy Reid's offense is more dangerous than ever. Like, Andy Reid's offense unlocked a lot more with Patrick Mahomes than it did with Andy Reid.
Mm-hmm.
And Patrick Mahomes is showing to you again, like, he's still that guy. And it's crazy that he's over at 500,000 passing yards, if I can remember correctly.
This year? Yep.
Yep. Over 5,000 passing. Leads the league in passing yards. Mm-hmm. Leads the league in passing touchdowns. Like, come on, man. Patrick Mahomes is kind of defying the odds. And I get people are going to be upset, like, I get to quarterback award. And I can understand because Justin Jefferson should be in that conversation. And I 100% believe he should.
Sure.
But the problem is that, yeah, I can see why Jefferson is in it, but it's just the trends being like the quarterbacks were the difference makers for the team. And I think that's why you're seeing quarterbacks get the awards more and more often than wide receivers do. Because I feel like quarterbacks will have a much better impact to the team than so the other skill positions.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's kind of why you're starting to, so why quarterbacks are starting to get the most awards. But Patrick Mahomes, for the season that he's having, I mean,
yeah.
And the Chiefs are potentially going to get the number one seed.
Yeah.
There's a good chance that it happens. So, mm-hmm. I mean, for what Mahomes is doing without Tyreek Hill, like, there's really no debate. I would give him the MVP.
Yeah. I have gone back and forth. And I went back to my original pick after these past couple of weeks. My pick is that bad man. We're number one down in Philadelphia. I think the NFL MVP right now is Jalen Hurts. And there's a couple of reasons. I think, first of all, the main argument that people give against Jalen Hurts is that he doesn't have the counting stats that Patrick Mahomes does.
Right.
But when you look at last year, Aaron Rodgers did not have the counting stats that Tom Brady had. Aaron Rodgers did not have the counting stats that Justin Herbert had. Justin Herbert threw for like 20 more touchdowns and like 1,000 more yards than Aaron Rodgers did last season. And Rodgers won the MVP award because he led the best team in the NFL to a 13-4 record and the one seed.
Mm-hmm.
And Jalen Hurts, not only is doing that, but the 2 weeks he's missed, they have not been good.
Right. And
everyone said Gardner Minshew can do the exact same thing if they put him in that Jalen Hurts could be doing.
100%.
Okay? And Gardner Minshew comes in and he stinks it up. They lose to the Saints, who, if they had Jalen Hurts, they would have blown up by 50. Okay? They lose to the Cowboys. If they, in that late game situation, when that game is close and tied, I trust Jalen Hurts.
Eagles would have won that game.
Eagles would have won that game because Gardner Minshew sold them. And I think my pick was Hurts, and then it was Mahomes, and then it was like Mahomes, and now it's Hurts again, because I've just, after seeing the Philadelphia without him, people didn't realize how big of an impact he had on this team's success.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if he comes back next week and they play the Giants and they crush him again, I think he's the clear MVP. Because honestly,
I see the argument.
If he comes back and he does that, and Gardner Minshew wouldn't have even put up 20 in the Giants, and he goes up and he does exactly what they did to him the first time, I think Jalen Hurts, I think if there was an NFL Most Improved Player award, he would probably win that. 100%. But there isn't.
And I'm so happy for him because I called him to be the next breakout quarterback for this year, and it's finally working out. I mean, you're starting to see like what happens when you give a quarterback a wide receiver. Josh Allen got Stephon Diggs. Now Jalen Hurts. He has AJ Brown.
Yeah.
What? So, I mean, like, what is it, man?
Yeah, it's crazy.
And now people are saying, when will Justin Fields get a wide receiver?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see this a lot. It's just like, give. And now you just saw Jacksonville trade for Calvin Ridley. And I think
I cannot wait for Calvin Ridley to be in that Jags offense next year.
Mm-hmm. Calvin Ridley, I mean, people kind of forgot. Calvin Ridley is
like,
so damn good.
Like, before, like, the year before he got suspended, he was hurt, but the year before that, he was, like, literally, like, and everybody had him in the top 10. Like, he was so good that year.
Season or 2019?
I think it was the COVID year, yeah, because they had just lost Julio Jones
to
the Titans, and man, dude, it's crazy because he was like in everybody's top 10. And I was just like, how is he doing this?
Calvin Ridley was in my top 10 that year.
Yeah.
The COVID year when
because Julio had gotten hurt and he was the wide receiver one, lit it up. And then obviously he got hurt the next year, suspended now. But I think he'll be great with Jacksonville.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
And alongside with the Green Bay Packers, I keep up also with the Atlanta Falcons because I used to live in the Atlanta area.
Mm-hmm.
So, but Calvin Ridley, I remember Falcons fans, they were hyped when they got Ridley, like, especially for the Falcons fans that I know. They were really hyped when they got Ridley in. It kind of sucks that he's gone because I kind of would like to see how match him with Drake London and Desmond Ridder. See how well they do, but he's going to help Trevor Lawrence a lot. And I'm seeing people push MVP narratives next year for Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, I mean, it could happen for sure.
It could, 100%. He's showing what his potential is right now. Calvin Ridley is a great wide receiver for stretching downfield and has that big playability. I'm very, very curious to see what what he does.
For sure. Moving on, looking at Offensive Player of the Year. Who do you got?
So, it was for me, I was on a roller coaster because at first I was like, it's Tyreek Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And then Josh Jacobs was coming along. So was Saquon. But I probably am going to give it to Justin Jefferson. I think for what that dude's doing, like, you got to give it to him. And he was close to getting like 2,000 yards. And Justin Jefferson in critical moments has kind of stepped up. That Bills game when he made that ridiculous catch, that looked like to be an interception.
Yeah.
Justin Jefferson.
Any other receiver that's down there, it's done. It's finished.
It's done. 100%. No other receiver's making that catch. You're going to argue for Stephon Diggs because Stephon Diggs has pretty good hands.
Yeah.
Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
Adam Thielen's not making that catch. 100% KJ Osborne's not going to make that catch.
No.
I don't know about any other wide receiver in football.
No.
Well, you can argue Tay Adams, but
I think Tay, because of his size, would probably get up there at least. But yeah, I mean,
listen, that ball looked like it was going to get intercepted more than it was going to get caught.
Mm-hmm.
But because the defense DB had two hands on the ball, and he was just kind of grabbing onto it, and Justin Jefferson just one-handedly.
Yeah,
like when you see his ability in the clutch and for what he's doing, and then obviously just being so ridiculous, and Kevin O'Connell, you know, scheming up plays and getting Jefferson open and for him to, you know, break out. I think, like, you have to give him Offensive Player of the Year. I mean, mm-hmm. and the fact that he was literally in the discussion for literally not breaking Calvin Johnson's record, but setting 2,000 yards in a single season. And he was already breaking franchise records in receiving yards for, like, Vikings history. So, like, Justin Jefferson to me is Offensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, he's my pick as well. Everything I would have said about him, you just did. So we can just move right along from that one. Defensive Player of the Year. I think we might have different picks for this one, but I want to see, who do you got?
That one's my hardest one.
Oh,
because mm-hmm. I'm literally alternating between Nick Bosa and Micah Parsons.
Mm-hmm.
So
those are the guys. Yep.
I feel like Parsons may end up winning it, only because he's played more games than Nick Bosa. But Bosa, to me, the impact he has had on the defensive line, my gosh. So it's tough, but I feel like Parsons may get it just because he played more games than Bosa. I think Bosa had an injury that kind of kept him out for a few games or so. But man, with Bosa, but Bosa's incredible. But I feel like they're going to give it to Parsons.
I am going with a extremely dark horse pick.
Ooh.
A man who has 15 and a half sacks, one of the most underrated defensive players this season, Matthew Judon. I think is going to win the Defensive Player of the Year. Judon. Yeah,
that's not a bad pick, man.
I think it's only two less than Bosa. Okay, I understand Bosa's been good.
Mm-hmm.
But Matthew Judon has been not only one of the most underrated defensive players, but he has impacted the Patriots a lot more than Nick Bosa impacts. The 49ers defense is one of the best in the league. The only reason the Patriots defense is relevant is because Matthew Judon plays for them. Dead serious.
Exactly.
And he makes a lot more plays outside of edge rushing than Nick Bosa does.
Yes.
He's a better all-around defender, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And with the sack total, like, if he gets one sack and gets up to 16 and a half and Bosa doesn't get any, it's only a one sack difference. I think with what Matthew Judon does, not only for a defense that isn't as good, he helps carry and not as good defense. He also, like, if he finishes with pretty much identical counting stats, plus, like, his forced fumbles, and I think he had a pick at some point. Like,
yeah,
I think he is a very good argument.
Judon is a damn good pick, and I love Matt Judon. I knew that, like, the moment I don't know how the Ravens got rid of him.
No.
I don't know how they didn't.
Never know. Never know.
I really did not know why the Ravens did not resign him. Matthew Judon 100% deserved it, but he did change that Patriots defense 100%. And
yeah, because
that, I think they traded away Kyle Van Noy. They lost J.C.
Jackson. Yeah, because the thing was, and that's just what I was about to say. Everyone this year was like, it's Bill Belichick, but this defense sucks. They're not going to do anything. And their defense is like super good and super efficient. And it's because Matthew Judon.
Top five defense in football, man. Like,
yeah, and his double team rate, I think he's the defensive
Judon, player. Judon, I mean, sure. He's incredible. Like, literally, I think you may potentially convince me to change my pick. I'm loving
Judon's good, man. I like him a lot.
Judon 100%. I want to see him like be a finalist or like be one of the three people to get defensive player of the year.
All right, moving on to the rookies. Okay, offensive rookie of the year.
Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, Garrett Wilson. Simple as
it's
that.
It's Garrett Wilson. Kenneth Walker would be the only one that
I just think he's missed too much time. I think if he'd been healthy all season, he'd probably be the obvious choice. Same thing with Breece Hall.
Breece Hall was my pick.
If Breece Hall, he was everybody's pick at like the midway point, but if he hadn't torn his ACL, he'd be the front runner clear.
I don't think it would have been close. The Jets' offense was clicking because it was all centered around Breece Hall. And It was the run game. And Zach Wilson, all he had to do, check down to Breece Hall, and Breece Hall was just going to make a play. That's literally
the Packers. Like, he had, like, a 20-yard touchdown, like, a screenplay against the Packers, you know. That's the game where I watched that full thing. I was just like, man, Breece Hall is – he's going to be a superstar.
Breece Hall is incredible. And it just sucks that he tore his ACL because – I feel like he would have ran away with it.
Yeah.
Damian Pierce has been incredible. But
I just think the running backs have been too injured, and Damian Pierce is never a good case. And I think Wilson's far and away the best receiver from this class. I see people pushing Christian Watson. I'm a Packers fan, I love him, but he hasn't produced consistently enough, and he has pretty inflated touchdown numbers. Because like he has a lot of touchdowns this year, but like he had like 3 in one game, 2 in another, you know, just like he kind of like stat padded for a couple of games.
Right. And I'm seeing Brock Purdy getting in, which I'm
that's ridiculous to me.
I'm like, how?
I get that he's a quarterback and the NFL is pretty quarterback biased, but he's going to end up playing like 5 games this season. And it's not like he's been phenomenal. Any of these rookie quarterbacks, I think, could do what Brock Purdy's doing in this system. Maybe not Malik Willis because he's such a project and I don't know if he would work in a Shanahan offense, but like Desmond Ridder, I think he'd be doing a lot better than he is in Atlanta if he was in San Francisco right now. I'm sure you know that. Yeah. And Ridder, I think he'd be fine. I think I'm blanking on the other guys, but Sam Howell probably would be fine. Kenny Pickett, he's doing good in a worse system. So I think that he'd be fine. I think Brock Purdy is, I think Brock Purdy's really getting he plays in a good offense. It's Mac Jones. Mac Jones last year played a really good offense with Bill Belichick, and everyone's like, he's the best quarterback from the class. He had the best stats, and then he goes and gets blown out in the playoffs, and this year has been super underwhelming. I think Brock Purdy is going to end up doing the same. And I get it if he had played like this all season, like say he was their starter this season and he had played at this level all season, sure, maybe give it to him. But he, 5 games over Garrett Wilson, it'd be insane.
And that was not the 49ers' way. They were wanting to see how Trey Lance was going to do this year.
He wasn't even their fifth thought. You think they ever sat down there in their meetings before the season and like mentioned Brock Purdy's name once? No, they didn't. They had no plans to use him unless everything goes wrong, and it did. So
right. So I mean, listen, it's nice to see Brock Purdy, you know, be like the Mr. Irrelevant last pick of the draft, and he's actually playing pretty good. But like, we need more games from
Brock sample Purdy. Size. Yeah,
huge sample size.
Yeah,
and Chris Olave at one point was kind of leading the rookie race, but the Saints offense is just so bad.
Yeah, and that was before Garrett Wilson really got going.
Yeah, I think, dude, I don't even know what the Saints are doing. Like, why on earth are you? What's going on with Jameis Winston? Like, I get it. He's not that good, but he's so much better than Andy Dalton. And it's not like Jameis has suffered like a seizing and an injury. He looks fine. And I think he's okay. I haven't seen much injury reports, but correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think Jameis Winston has that little injury.
No, he's been healthy. Because he's been a healthy scratch. And the thing is, they don't have any reason to tank because they don't have their first round pick. It's
they
the
gave
Eagles.
That away to the Eagles.
The worse they get, the better the Eagles draft. Which which I don't understand helping out one of your biggest NFC rivals, but that's just me, you know. But who knows?
Philly fleeced the fuck out of them with that.
They
CJ
did.
Gardner Johnson
trade. Did. Yeah, they did. Defensive rookie of the year. I think we have the same answer for this one. And Saul I hate. Gardner. Yeah. I hate the Tariq Woolen thing because I do think he's good, but people use like interceptions and like forced fumbles and touchdowns.
He's getting the Trayvon Diggs type of treatment, and I hate.
Yeah, because I don't think that corners should be like judged or based on like their rankings based on picks.
Interceptions.
Right, because there are really good corners who in their careers, like Byron Jones, really good corner in Miami. He has four career picks. Dude has four career picks. And like Jair Alexander doesn't get that, like he's not like a double digit pick guy, but he's one of the best corners in football. Jalen Ramsey got like five interceptions last season. He's one of the best corners in football.
Right.
AJ Terrell, I don't even know how many he had last season. I mean, this season he's been hurt and stuff like that, and they've been bad. But last season he was one of the best corners in football. It's not like he was like a pick merchant, right? Mm-hmm. Like so the best cornerbacks don't get a lot of picks because they make good plays on the ball, you know. And yeah,
the only way you're judged corners is their coverage ability. How they match up against wide receivers, and
Sauce Gardner is better at that than Tariq Woolen. He
100.
Is. He's one of the best. Like this dude is like first in like every single man coverage stat as a rookie. Mm-hmm. That, you know how
That's
rare
incredible.
That is. You know how rare that is. That's like Darrell Revis, like Deion Sanders, like those two guys are the guys who did that. And Tariq Woolen, I get it. He's athletic. He's a big guy. I think the reason why Tariq Woolen gets this hype is because he was drafted so low.
Right.
And he's like exceeding all these expectations. Whereas Sauce, they drafted him very high. Like he had to have been good or people would have slandered the absolute garbage out of him.
Like, Sauce
like how could you pick him fourth? Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And the cool thing about Sauce Gardner is that Cincinnati's in my school's conference, East Carolina's conference.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Sauce Gardner play.
That's
him,
awesome.
Desmond Ridder and Alec Pierce. Boy, did my school get our butts kicked.
I can imagine.
I was
imagine.
Oh my goodness. But it was cool to see Sauce Gardner, you know, at my school and whatnot. But Sauce Gardner, like 100%. And people were kind of doubting him. Is he going to be this good in the NFL? Because obviously, this crappy conference that he played in college.
Has he allowed a touchdown yet?
Not yet.
I don't think he has.
There's like people were trying to say some plays where Sauce allowed a touchdown, but I think that was more on DJ Reed. Or
I know that. And like, I don't know. Does it count against you for allowing a touchdown if you were in zone coverage?
I don't think so, but I wouldn't be so sure.
He definitely has not allowed one in man coverage. Maybe there's one in zone where he was the closest guy, whatever. But in man coverage, nobody has gotten him.
Would you rank Sauce Gardner in your top five?
Yeah. I don't buy CB1 yet, but I do think he's top five.
Top five, 100%.
I think that I'm still taking Jair over him. 100%. I think I'm still taking Jalen Ramsey over him. Mm-hmm. I think I take this year Pat Surtain over him. And then 4 and 5, I think, are him and J.C. Horn. But I don't really know which one I want to put above the other quite yet.
Right.
I think those are the top five guys.
JC Horn that he did not make the Pro Bowl.
He doesn't get any recognition because he plays for the Panthers. That's it. J.C. Horn.
Nico, by the way. Nico Elite takes that he called out the breakout for J.C. Horn. And I kind of was pretty high on J.C. Horn, too. But
I was, too. I don't think there was any reason for you to be low on J.C. Horn.
I mean, he was the first corner taken in last year's draft class before Surtain.
Yeah, and he got hurt and last year. But before he got hurt, people forget that he was, like, very, very good, like, as a rookie.
He was doing pretty well.
Like, he was doing the same kind of stuff that Sauce Gardner and Tariq Woolen are doing this year. He just got hurt, you know? Mm-hmm. People forget about him, but yeah, J.C. Horn deserves his flowers. The Pro Bowl, 100%. We know it's useless at this point because it's them playing Madden now, so who cares?
J.C. Horn is incredible. I think his athleticism is something else.
Mm-hmm. All right, finally, last award we're going to talk about, Coach of the Year. Who are you taking?
So you can make a case for Nick Sirianni because the Eagles have the best record. Kevin O'Connell, 100% for changing the entire Vikings offense.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Mike McDaniel opening up Tua with his offensive schemes and, you know, the Shanahan-esque offense using the run game along. You love to see it. but I'm probably going to give it to Brian Daboll. And that's
yes.
And the reason why I'm giving it to Daboll is because obviously the Giants organization was just in a dumpster fire. Mm-hmm. And Joe Shane obviously changed the entire organization, the entire culture, unlike with, I can't remember the previous general manager's name. That's how bad it is. But, and then obviously such a massive upgrade over Joe Judge and, you know.
Yeah.
Pat Shurmur.
I just think that, like, I originally had Daboll when they were, after they beat the Packers, I was like, it's probably Daboll. Mm-hmm. And then the Giants kind of, you know, they fell off a cliff pretty much.
Right.
And I was like, and maybe not anymore. Maybe it's Nick Sirianni now. But now that they have locked a playoff spot and they've won the past couple of games, this roster is not a playoff football team. They are not a playoff football team. But Brian Daboll made them a playoff football team.
Right.
He turned Daniel Jones into a quarterback who, by the way, I talked about this on my last episode of my podcast. Daniel Jones is playing great this year. I don't want to hear it. Daniel Jones, give him his flowers. He has been good this year. He's not turning the ball over at nearly as high of a rate as he did. He is making the right reads. He's very good with his legs. I think Daniel Jones deserves to get his fifth-year option picked up or whatever they need to do. I think he gets extended after the season. Mm-hmm. That's my take. And that's Daboll. And the way he's running this offense, that is successful with Isaiah Hodgins as a number one wide receiver, you know, with like Richie James and like mm-hmm. Darius Slayton, like no Kadarius Toney, backups up against the wall, and they're in the playoffs. I think there's no argument for anybody else but Daboll at this point for me.
Yeah, I'm 100%. And nobody thought – people were expecting the Giants to win like two or three games.
People had the Giants going like 2-15. Like
even I did.
Yeah, I had them winning like 5 or 6 games. Yeah.
I had to make an apology video to Giants fans because they were getting on me.
Yeah.
But listen, I'm happy for the Giants that
they're
in the playoffs because seeing Dave Gettleman be the clown that he is and running that show, then trading away Odell Beckham for like, I don't know what the heck, for like, I don't know what purpose did you trade Odell, which I still don't understand that trade.
Nobody does.
And then just throwing the organization down the ground and then missing on draft picks and stuff. I mean, and then obviously following up with bad coaching. I mean, having Pat Shurmur lead this team. And then now Joe Judge, who's just been a disaster. Mm-hmm. I mean, and then you see like the new, and then obviously John Mara getting into his senses, hiring Joe Shane, and then getting Brian Daboll. Brian Daboll changed everything. The culture around the Giants, it's different. This team wants to play hard. They play for him. Like, and for the Giants, like obviously locking up the playoff spot and taking some other teams and getting the best out of other teams. They got the best out of the Packers. They almost did with the Vikings. You have to give Judge.
Yeah.
Give it to Judge 100%. And kept it close with the Cowboys. At times, even like it looked like the Giants, they were going to – I was like, could the Giants actually beat the Cowboys in those games?
Yeah.
Like, that was my reactions when I was watching those Giants and Cowboys game. And usually the Cowboys would 100% smoke the Giants from what we've seen recently. This Giants team seems to be more competitive. Brian Daboll 100% changed the culture. You have to give it to him.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is all I have for us. If you want to go ahead and plug your socials, you can go ahead and do that now. Where can we find you?
All right. So pretty much everywhere, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, at HammyTakes. Go ahead and follow. As you can see, the name is right here on my screen. But other than that, that's pretty much it, man.
Yeah.
And also,
thanks again.
Yeah. And go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go. Yes, sir. I will see you later, man.
All right, dude. Take it easy, man.